The Last Word on Today FM with Matt Cooper.
You may also have concerns about the reopening of schools at the end of August and start of September. Do you have the necessary information from your schools about the timing of the return, the timing of the school day, how safe your child is going to be in the school environment? I have to admit there's a personal interest in this for me because I have one son starting secondary school, I have another son going into fifth year and a daughter going into Leaving Cert. Three different schools and very different messages coming out of those particular schools. Indeed, only one I could say that actually has had good communications up until now as to what will actually be done and expected. We're joined by Parent of Seven, Irish Times parenting columnist Jen Hogan. You obviously have lots of children returning to school. What have your experiences been in getting straightforward information from the schools about what is required?
Hi, Matt. Yeah, it's been very poor. We've actually heard nothing from any of the schools. I have to correct myself. There was one thing. We got a text on Monday to tell us that the secondary schools would not be returning on the day expected. No indication when they were going to return. Anyway, that the schools needed more time. But we've no details whatsoever. My youngest is actually due to start primary school. And we this morning now I found out the name of this teacher. That's the very first thing that I've heard, but I know nothing about how the day will look from what time we'll start, whether it'll be staggered beginning times, staggered finishing times. And obviously with so many children, that I have to factor all that in because I cannot be in all these different places at once. I don't know what times the secondary schools are going to operate. I don't know even the masks for secondary school now. Obviously, that's something the teenagers are used to anyway. They're wearing masks in and around the shops. But there's rumours going around that there'll be breaks from the masks. And with one son who's asthmatic, he'll be in secondary school and there'll be a requirement to wear a mask. I'd just like to know this just to prepare them and to prepare my youngest child, who's become quite anxious since the lockdown began. By the time he goes back or starts school, he'll be 6 months at a Montessori. And that's such a huge portion of a four-year-old's life. You know, it's really important that I have that time to prepare them. Also, aside from the children, work. How am I supposed to work? How is my husband supposed to work if we don't even know the start times and the finishing times and all the details around the schools? We've been told nothing, absolutely nothing. And I did mention before I came on air that I mentioned to my parenting community, and I heard back from so many parents who said that that's their experience too. Absolutely no details whatsoever sent on yet.
And what do you make of the suggestions that have been coming forward that you could have a situation where schools will expect the uniform to be washed every night and to be clean again for coming to school the following day?
I mean, that's a huge thing for us. I'm actually anticipating that's going to be the case for us because the local schools who have contacted parents have all indicated that their parents will have to wash or provide a freshly washed uniform every day or a freshly washed tracksuit every day. That is huge. Even in my house, the laundry is something I never get on top of anyway. So now if this is something else that's required of us in the middle of the winter when the weather's obviously worse, heavy school jumpers, the fact that my kids' uniforms are all crested and everything is crested right down to the polo shirt, that's huge expense. I'll have to buy backup uniforms. But again, I don't know, do I need to do that? I don't know, do I need to buy school shoes? I've heard so many different stories that the schools are all doing their own thing. And that's, of course, the very few schools who have come forward and actually given out information that they're all doing different things. And so it's very hard to prepare with just 2 weeks to go. And as I said, with the secondary schools, we actually don't know. In my case, I don't know what that return date is going to be yet. I'm hoping we'll hear soon, but it's very hard to prepare your teenagers and prepare your younger children when you know nothing.
And other things as well, Jen, which people are worried about, is even like lunch boxes, whether they're going to be actually safe, what the facilities are going to be for hand washing inside in schools, for going to toilets, the attempts to have social distancing.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, again, I'm looking at, I suppose, the age span of my children means the requirements are very different for across the board. So I'll have some who won't be expected to social distance, some who'll be operating in a pod system, and obviously then the teenagers who will have to operate quite differently altogether. I don't even know how they'll get to school. The lunch situation, again, I'm asking other parents what they've heard. So many have heard very few things. There's been a couple have come forward and said that they're expected to provide things like tea towels and that lunches will be had on tea towels on desks so that crumbs can be gathered and sent home. Some parents have heard that there's to be two pencil cases provided, one that's to stay in school, one at home. will the books move between school and home? We don't know that. We don't know so much at all. Well, hand sanitizer, is that something that we all have to provide? Is that going to be in school? Actually, even that, I'd be quite interested to hear how that's going to work, because I mentioned my youngest, who's quite anxious at the moment about starting school. And this is a total personality transformation for him. He was a very chilled, happy-go-lucky little dude. It's just, I suppose, the realities of the times we're living in and the impact that it's having on young lives. He's quite regimental about washing his hands. You know, he follows the rules because he is so anxious. And I'd like to know how that's going, even to prepare him for things like that. But again, no information whatsoever. So I don't know what the safety procedures will be. I don't know what the practical procedures will be. And I don't know the timings, which make it very difficult, not just for the children, but for me as a working parent.
Jen, stay there. We have lots of comments coming in from listeners. As a deputy principal in a secondary school, I'm working 12 hours a day for the last 10 days, trying very hard to prepare. All need to be patient with us. Well, we can understand that there are many schools must be working very, very hard. But Tara in Limerick says, absolutely no communication from our school, not even a start date. We have two children in primary. A lot of friends with children in other schools have received detailed plans. It seems to me, just as with the homeschooling during the COVID-19 shutdown, some schools are widely varying from others in their approach. Another one, I'm a primary school teacher. I know absolutely nothing about how it'll work either. I'm also a mother of three. It is confusing and frustrating, says Orla in Galway. Now, we've other guests joining us here on The Last Word on Today FM. Let's start with Pádraig Clerkin, who is the chief executive of the Irish Primary Principals Network. Is there a deadline for primary schools to let the parents of pupils know when they're going back? Has the Department of Education given you any instructions in that way?
I suppose, Matt, first of all, that I would agree that communication, you know, between home and school is crucial, and it's something that we would be supporting schools with in terms of putting an effective process in place. But schools have been presented with guidance documents and plans, you know, only a couple of weeks ago, so they've had to sit down, plan for their own school specifically. They have to get their board of management to sit and look through that plan and to agree to the plan, and obviously then, you know, send it out and send out the details to parents. So what I would expect is happening. I know of many schools, and I was in a school this morning, working from 8 o'clock this morning on these plans to try to get the plans agreed and to get communication out to parents. We all know that this is an anxious time. It's an anxious time for school staff. It's a very anxious time for parents and for children. And what we want to put in place is a very effective plan for the safe and orderly reopening of schools.
But what sort of things? I mean, are you getting specific instructions from the Department of Education as to certain things that have to be done? Or is there flexibility allowed to individual schools according to their own physical circumstances?
Well, there would be flexibility, because at the end of the day, each school has to sit down with its own board of management, and it's the board of management that has the responsibility for ensuring that the plan is put into place and that it can be, you know, it can be implemented effectively. So it really, first of all, has to be signed off by the board of management, after which the school would be in contact, and we would be encouraging schools, you know, to ensure that there is a good communication flow between school and home to ensure that everybody is aware of how you know, the plan will be implemented, and to ensure that it can be done so effectively, safely. And, you know, our second objective then is to ensure that we can keep schools open, which is going to mean that all of us within the school community have to work together to do so. So this really is a community response, and we all know that to ensure that there is an effective community, response to any of these things, communication is important, and we would certainly agree with that, and we will be supporting our schools to put a plan in place to effectively communicate with home.
There are lots of text messages coming into 0874 100 102. This one says, as a teacher, I would like details of students returning, because teachers are in the dark too. It's not clear whether that's a primary or secondary teacher who sent that one in. But Martin Marjoram is the president of the TUI. What's the situation in secondary schools, given that we've just heard there from Pádraig in relation to primary schools?
Thank you, Matt. Good evening to your listeners. I think it is worth saying that the same challenges are facing post-primary schools. We did point out when the plan and the funding package were announced that there was a very short time available in order to see that implemented across the many schools, and there are different circumstances for each individual school. So we're not surprised that there are difficulties, but we absolutely support the clear need for really effective communications. And there's no way this can work unless the whole of the school community is working in concert. So it is an absolutely vital element of this. One thing we are hearing, by the way, just to put it on the record now, we are hearing with concern that some of the plans that are being put in place may not be properly in compliance with the public health advice. And just to be absolutely clear...
Sorry, in what way?
Well, for instance, there are efforts to measure 1 meter distancing from the top of the head of a student to the top of the head of the next student instead of the common sense, which is obviously from shoulder to shoulder, in order to pack more students into a classroom, essentially. And just to be absolutely clear, we are not going to tolerate that. We have to be, as an entire school community, and we're going to play our role in this, we all have to be really serious about what we're dealing with here.
Well,
and there can't be any variations, and there can't be any make-you-up approaches to what the public health advice means. It's very, very clear. We're pleased with how clear it is, and we're certainly going to ensure that it's implemented properly.
Yeah, the seriousness of the situation just confirmed by a release from NPHET in the last few moments, 92 additional cases in the country, which is above the average of the last 5 days of 75 new cases. Our new cases are way above where they were back in June. Sinead in Limerick says, are secondary schools not allowing lockers? This will be a disaster for children travelling to school. The department have 5 months to plan this. Why leave everything to the last minute? That issue, Martin, in relation to school lockers, I know, and certainly one of my own children has received a communication saying, do not bring things that can't be put in a locker. So just bring a very, very light bag, if at all possible, coming into school. Is this going to be throughout the entire country, no lockers?
Well, I think it will be up to the individual schools to an extent, because the architecture of the school may be different and may allow things in one school that just can't be permitted in others, with regards to congregation of students in places where the corridor may simply be too narrow to do it safely and so on. So I'm not going to comment on the specific cases that might arise. I think there will be variations, though. The most important thing is that each school communicates really clearly with its body of students.
But Martin, that's really important, because Carmel in Avoca in Wicklow says, my son's school sent a detailed plan to all parents outlining how the school day will look for the children. It included everything from staggered times, where children would exercise, and procedures for collection, etc. This has ensured parents can prepare their children and themselves in advance. Kudos to the principal involved. But if it's possible in one school, surely it should be possible in every school, Martin, particularly when so many parents might be working themselves and need to know when their children are returning to school and what hours they'll be going to school at.
Well, we'd congratulate those schools that are communicating clearly already. But as I've already said, we acknowledge the difficulties that some schools have. Some schools are more overcrowded than others. Some schools have different sizes of classrooms. And there are individual circumstances that are going to make very specific difficulties. School classrooms right now are being reconfigured. Unnecessary furniture is being removed. Even then, in some schools, there may not be the necessary space within the school to have the correct social distancing for all classes to go ahead. And those schools may be looking for other solutions. So it is a regrettable part of this that there are variations. But I think... my understanding is every school is working very hard to try to get a workable plan in place and to communicate that clearly once it is ready to go.
Pádraic Clerkin of the Irish Primary Principals Network, one what might seem like a small enough point, but which could be actually a very important one. Will primary school teachers be wearing face coverings as a protection to themselves? And the reason I ask is that, you know, it's maybe very important, particularly for smaller children, to be able to see the face of their teachers when they're talking to them, and that they might actually, particularly those in junior and senior infants, find it difficult to understand the tone or demeanour of a teacher towards them if they can't actually see them talking.
Yeah, I think that's a valid point. Again, I suppose that we all have to follow, and this is recent advice that came out from the Health Protection Surveillance Centre, in relation to teachers and to face coverings. So it's something that will have to be looked at by the schools. But the guidance is that if the teacher is not in a position to keep the 2 metres social distancing, that they will have to wear a face covering. And in a primary school setting, that's just not practical. That it's not, you know, interaction with children is ongoing, you know, right throughout the day. So, you know, I'd a lot of schools, taking your point on board, will look at visors and they look at whatever is, you know, in the best interest of the children, in ensuring that we can follow the guidance, but at the same time, ensure that there is appropriate interaction with children. And at the end of the day, that's what we will be looking at in all of these situations, is focusing on children and how we can ensure that they settle back into school as quickly as possible, so that they can re-engage with school life and school learning effectively.
Lengthy text here from a listener, but it's worth reading. I'm a parent representative on a board of management of a national school. We haven't yet had the school's return protocol formally presented to us. It's a joke, to be honest. Schools have had months to prepare for the return of pupils. They've taken a laid-back approach to remote learning earlier in the year and the same attitude now for the return of pupils to classes. There should be a national standard for all schools, not every school making it up for themselves, as seems to be the case. It's hugely frustrating for myself as a working parent. We don't yet have guidance on school uniforms, school books and homework, etc. Jen Hogan, last word to you. You've been listening to the TUI president, Martin Marjoram. You've heard from the chief executive of the Irish Primary Principals Networks, Padraig Clerkin. Do you have more confidence as to what is likely to happen in the weeks to come?
No, because it still sounds as if the schools don't know, or the constant argument that they need more time. And I totally accept the Department of Education should have maybe got their finger out and got those guidelines out again sooner. But parents are very important stakeholders in this whole thing. And we need the information to prepare our children, to make life easier for everybody. Even the thing you raised there about the face masks. Aside from children who need that kind of level of interaction, there are children with hearing impairments who are in school who are going to struggle. There are parents at home worrying because they have vulnerable family members, vulnerable children. They don't have the guidelines either. I think really at this stage, it needs to be appreciated that any information that is available needs to be made available to parents, because, as I said, we are very important stakeholders in this, and it doesn't feel necessarily that that's being appreciated.
Jen Hogan, thank you very much, parenting columnist for the Irish Times, for joining us. I'm very taken. I'm watching you on Zoom and I'm seeing that you're sitting in your parked car. And I can understand that as a mother of seven, how that might be the only peaceful place you could go and do this particular interview.
I didn't want a streaker. We could have a streaker otherwise mid-interview.
Thank you very much. And thank you to our other guests as well.
The Last Word with Matt Cooper. Listen live, on air, from 4:30 weekdays on Today FM.